Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show.
You like classic video games, I like classic video games, everybody loves classic video games. This is Chris Cowan from the Pop Mockers Comedy Podcast, and you are listening to Two Dudes and an NES.
Hey, Justin.
What's up, man?
Not much. You ready to redeem yourself?
I guess. Last week was a little embarrassing, huh?
Yeah, for us. Aaron
in a lot of ways.
Obviously knows what he was doing, but we sound like amateurs last week, and maybe a little bit in the editing process, too.
That was my bad. You know, here's the thing. Just to kind of explain what happened there. I was editing the show, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go on We Guys page. So for those of you that don't know, we go to this guy that's called We Guy on YouTube. And we get our music. He's kind of compiled pretty much every NES game that you could think of or that there is. And he's compiled all the music. And so I typed in Mega Man, and then it come up, you know, all the different Mega Mans that he had. And I even told myself, I was like, okay, be sure to click on just Mega Man with no number. But apparently I just didn't heed my own advice there. And willy-nilly picked randomly Mega Man 4. And of course at that point, you just go on his page, you download the thing, and I didn't notice anything and just moved on. And that was my bad.
So. Yeah. So we're not talking about Mega Man 4, for everybody who's curious. We're actually talking about Mega Man number 1, the original Mega Man. So if you guessed Mega Man 4 after last week's show, then I'm sorry. You were right, technically, but we meant to talk about Mega Man number 1.
We'll get to Mega Man 4 eventually. Yeah. While we're on the subject of me being an idiot, I wanted to bring up something. So you put up on... So I have my whole life struggled with the spelling of Wednesday. Now I don't consider myself a stupid person, but It's what you know. There's always that thing that should be easy for you to do, but it's like not. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday has always been my Achilles heel. Like I'll be typing on my phone, and it's like trying to tell somebody something about a Wednesday. And I'll be like, W-E-N, okay, come on, autofill this. I'm telling you. My phone's like, nope, not going to do it for you. You're going to have to figure it out. Well, since you put
Did
on,
I just solve all your problems the other day?
You solved all my problems because you gave me a little hint on Wednesday on how to spell Wednesday, which is pretty much Web Nest Day. Now I'll never forget how to spell it.
You're welcome. Hey, you know, we're forgetting a little something about this show today. We have a guest.
Oh, yeah.
Hey guys.
It's
You don't struggle with spelling Wednesday, do you?
Actually, I do. I have the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to solve this problem, I'll do for you what I did for Justin. You put the NES in the middle of Wednesday. It's WED NES Day. It's like, you know, Nintendo Entertainment System Day.
Never looked at it like that, but yeah, I can see it.
So, Rob, our guest, would you like to tell people why we invited you on the show? if you know.
Yeah, it's I guess talk about Rex Rocket a little bit, or because I made Rex Rocket, something like that. I'm one of the devs for Rex Rocket, I guess.
Yeah, and Rex Rocket, for anybody who doesn't know, is an indie game. It's a new game that's come out, but it's in the style of an old game, and it's very heavily in the style of Mega Man. So I thought it'd be really cool to have you on the show, talk a little Rex Rocket and talk a little Mega Man.
Yeah, totally. Sounds good to me. I love talking both. So,
so I think we know that you were one of the devs on Rex Rocket. So let's save that and put that at the end, and we'll talk, because I've been playing it a little bit this week along with Mega Man. So I'd like to talk about it. Let's talk about it a little bit at the end of the show. Give people a little nightcap.
Cool.
If you will. Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So Justin, do you have some history for us?
Justin's historical tidbits and trivia.
I do. So, Mega Man, obviously one of the more famous games in Nintendo, was created by a company called Capcom, which has made bukus of other famous NES games as well as famous games for forever. Since we have a guest today, I'm going to do one of my favorite things. Which we've been doing, you know, I think the past like 3 or 4 shows we've done a quiz game, so... Rob, what we're going to do, how we do this, is I'm going to ask, I'm just going to do 5 questions today. And I'll ask a question, and then you buzz in when you think you know the answer. And you buzz in by saying your name. So it'd be you versus Mike here. And also, there'll be 3 choices. There'll be 3 answer choices, an A, B, and C. But you don't have to wait for those choices. You don't even have to wait for me to finish the question. As soon as you think you know it, you say your name and buzz in.
Okay, I think I got it.
All right. So, Mega Man, one of the key developers on this, or key illustrators and developers on this game, was a guy named Keiji Inafune. And he was the Mega Man team artist. Now, he got his start in what other Capcom game? Is it A, Commando? Is it B, Ghosts and Goblins? Or C, Street Fighter?
Mike. Yes. I'm going to say Ghosts and Goblins.
That is incorrect.
Ooh, I'll go with A. actually, B was my first choice, too, but I'll go with A.
Which was Commando, and that is also incorrect.
Oh,
he actually started out with Street Fighter.
Really?
Interesting.
I think I know how to pronounce this one, and I think you butchered it really, really bad.
Oh boy, good.
I think it's
I hate to disappoint by saying it correctly.
Isn't it Keiji Inafune? I believe it's Keiji Inafune.
I'm not sure either.
I'll go with your. He goes by Infu King. In the credits. Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of corrections on this show.
Why? Why are we getting corrections?
Because obviously we don't even know this guy. We should be best friends with him.
No, that's true. Like, he does go by MPK. Anyway. All right. Anyway.
Question two.
All right. Infune, whatever, drew a lot of inspiration from this 1980s, well, not 1980s, but this...
Mike.
Japanese anime series. What?
Is it Astro Boy?
It is Astro Boy.
Ah, nice.
Somebody did some reading here.
Nice. No. How would you guess that, actually?
Are you a big Astro Boy fan?
I think that's just common knowledge. I think everybody.
Yeah.
Oh well. All right. Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. I did read that here in this past week, actually.
Okay. Question 3. So it's 1-0, Michael. Question 3. Dr. Wily was created after what famous person? Was it A. Nikola Tesla? B, Mark Twain, or C, Albert Einstein?
Rob Einstein.
It is Einstein.
Oh, all man. Right. They were all good choices, though, because they all kind of look like Dr. Wiley.
Tesla wasn't that popular. I kind of ruled him out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark Twain, I guess, could be ruled out because he wasn't technically a scientist. But
yeah, Mark
anyway.
Twain.
But he did. I picked Mark Twain as a red herring because he looked like kind of like Dr. Wiley.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, and he's a word scientist.
Huh. That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. This one might be a little easy. All right. The gameplay for Mega Man was inspired by what childhood game? Is it
Rob
A,
Mario?
Wait, what?
I said Mario.
Mario. What's Mario?
Mario.
I don't even know.
Mario.
No. I think
sorry, I was a shot in the dark there. I was just taking a chance.
Yeah, I think you're going the wrong direction here, because what's your answer choices here? Is it A, Jax, B, Hopscotch, or C, Rock, Paper, Scissors?
Oh, well, I'm going to go with C, Rock, Paper, Scissors.
It is Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Although, so I wanted to say pick up sticks, but that wasn't a choice.
I wonder if that's where Rockman came from.
That was
the original name. Oh, sorry, I went and ruined a question.
No, that wasn't a question, but there was a little bit of the inspiration, but actually a lot of the inspiration was he wanted to play a homage, I guess you could say, to rock and roll, because he was really into rock and roll.
Right.
Yeah, and in the there's apparently he. Mega Man has a sister.
Mm-hmm. And her name is Roll.
Not really in the game, but.
Right. And that was a question.
A sister?
That was a question, Michael, so we just ripped that card up.
Sorry.
Alright. So we are at what? Is it 2-1 now?
I believe so.
So we've had 4 questions, 2-1. So this will be our 5th question, which I am going to have to think of something else here. Okay, I got one. Alright. Nintendo Power listed this game on its top 100 games. What ranking did it get? Was it number 5, number 12, or number 20?
We go with Rob 5.
No.
No.
Mike 20.
It is 20. So, Michael wins this week. Did you win last week?
No, I got demolished last week by Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, actually, I do like the quiz show, because it's like putting me up against the guest. The guest can come in and beat me. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, Mike wins the quiz show. Sorry, Rob. Better luck next time.
Bummer.
Just to throw in a few more things about history before we move on. The music, which is kind of famous, a lot of people like the music to this game, was created by Manami Matsumi. Matsume? What do you think? What do you think, Mike? Did I get that one?
I'm not even gonna try to correct you on that one. That sounds right. I don't know.
She used a sound driver that was programmed by Yoshiro Sakaguchi. And this sound programming was credited as Yuka-chan's papa, whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but maybe somebody knows what that means.
Yuka-chan's papa?
Mm-hmm.
Like his dad?
I don't know. Who's Yuka-chan?
I don't know.
That's my thing. I mean, I assume papa means dad. Okay, cool. Happy to that, but anyway. All right. And Mega Man sales were actually pretty low overall, which Inafune actually blamed on the box art. Because said the box art had no... It didn't actually give the gamer a view of what the game would actually be like. And the box art, let's just talk about the box art for a minute, is pretty lame. And it's pretty different from the other Mega Mans. You know, Mega Man later on would become kind of this... Really kind of like an anime character with kind of like almost boyish features, which a lot of anime characters have.
It's like Rockman.
Yeah. But in the Mega Man picture...
Or Astro Boy, not Rockman.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And in the Mega Man, the original Mega Man, for when they brought it over to North America, it's got this, like, middle-aged man with a handgun.
Like
yeah. I mean, actually, he looks older than middle-aged. Like, he's like, I don't know, like a 60-year-old man in a Tron outfit. And then you've got some palm trees in the back, which I'm not sure what's going on
there.
Super
hideous.
Really, really weird. I was going to say, you mentioned something to me before the show that I didn't know. In the Street Fighter Cross Tekken or Street Fighter X Tekken game, you can actually play as the original box art Mega Man.
Right.
And he's got like a beer belly and stuff.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's like, you know what I think is funny about that? Yeah, it's like when they did that for Street Fighter, is like, we're not only going to show the old guy on Mega Man, but we're gonna age him even more. And we're gonna, like, give him a beer belly, like he's not been doing much here since that cover, you know, he's just been hanging out. And you know what his tagline from that game was?
Mm-mm.
This is my destiny. Like, he's finally getting to redeem himself.
That's great.
Anyway. But, you know, the game was obviously well received. Was a big seller as far as how it got popular was really by word of mouth, because it really didn't get a lot of advertising. It got one full-page ad in Nintendo Power, but that was pretty much it. And wasn't really covered to be a big game, but obviously it's become one of the more famous games. It was definitely a sleeper hit in the NES collection. The team that developed it was only a six-team group, obviously led by Inafune. And he got this job right out of college, 22 years of age, and started making this game, and he did a pretty good job. So,
wow. He's made pretty much all the Mega Man games, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's a part of all of them, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that's
and,
really
cool. I've got a recent picture of him here. I pull it up on my computer, and he doesn't age that bad. He looks really young right now, still. So,
you want to share it with us?
I don't know how to do that.
Okay, well then don't do it, because that would just be all.
wait, maybe. Hold on. Talk for a minute. Let me see if I can figure it out.
Okay. But yeah, history. I think this game came out in 1987, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty early in the lifespan. It's pretty much right as soon as Nintendo started letting other people release games.
Because
right. For the first couple years, Nintendo pretty much released all the games on their own.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to be able to figure out how to do this.
Okay.
But,
don't worry.
Yeah, it was released on December 17th, 1987, so just in time for that Christmas. This was when it released, was a little bit before my NES playing time. I was only 3 at this time. So.
This was before my NES playing time as well.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, we could go on a little bit more about history, but I want to get to the gameplay, because there's going to be a lot of talk, I think, there. But did you... got any interesting story on how you came across this game?
Michael's quest to find the cart.
This is kind of the same story as my Bucky O'Hare episode story. I met with a guy who wanted to get rid of his NES collection, right? And, I knew kind of the values of some of the games. He had an NES, he had several Mega Mans, and he had a Bucky O'Hare, which the funny thing is, at the time, I knew the Mega Mans were going to be worth money. I didn't do a ton of research, because this is when I first started collecting again, so I didn't realize that things were as expensive as they are. But he had, like, Mega Man, I think, 2, 3, and 4, and then he had Bucky O'Hare, and then he had a bunch of other riff-raff games, like just Super Mario. And so I was like, okay, wow, you got some good games. I'll give you, like, $60, you know? And it had an NES with it. And so he's like, sure, yeah, that sounds like a great deal. I guess he thought, you know, these are all junky old games. And so we made this deal, and I thought I was giving him a reasonable amount of money for this box of games. And then I get home, and I'm looking through them, and I'm kind of cataloging them and checking values and everything. And I was like, oh, I totally ripped that guy off. Didn't even mean to. Because all of these games are worth... The Mega Mans are all worth at least 10 to 20 bucks a piece, maybe more. The Mega Man 1 may be worth more. And then the Bucky O'Hare, little did I know, Bucky O'Hare was worth like 40, 50 bucks on its own.
Nice. What was that? Jeez. Like 1990?
When I bought the games from him?
Yeah.
No, this is like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's a con artist.
Wow, I didn't know those games retained value like that. I guess some of them went up, huh?
Some of them do, yeah. So
what were NES games, like 30 bucks?
No,
they were pretty expensive.
Yeah, when they came out, they were probably 60 bucks when they came out.
60 bucks, really? Jeez.
Yeah, back then, too. That's pretty expensive.
I don't even remember the prices. Let's say I was born in 84, so when I was growing up, it was like my parents buying them for us.
Right, right.
Well, the only reason I know is over time. What's funny is over time is how like the gaming systems have gone up in price exponentially. So the first NES, the NES was only like 150 bucks, and the games were 60. Mm-hmm. And then they moved on, and now gaming systems are like $600, and the games are still like 60 bucks.
Yeah, it's funny. They always show those like infographs of the old systems adjusted for inflation, you know, to show you, see, the systems were always about the same price. I'd like to see some games adjusted for inflation. Mm-hmm. Like, how much would Mega Man brand new be today if it was adjusted for inflation? Probably be like $250.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're making like Mega Man 9 and 10, so I think those go for like 5 to 10 bucks. So
yeah, they do. It's just, I don't know, it's just weird how, I don't know, the gaming culture is, and how they'll pay $50 for this Mega Man, you know, for the NES, but then Mega Man 9 comes out and they're like, oh, you're charging $10 for this Mega Man 9 on the PlayStation Plus or whatever, or PlayStation Network. That's ridiculous. But it's the same game. It's actually, you know, it's not only is it the same game, but it's the same game plus some new technology, so.
Right, yeah.
For everybody, this
wow.
is...
he looks really young.
Yeah, he's 49 years old now, but he looks, really young. So, yeah.
Huh. Nice. Yeah.
That is nice. Hey, go ahead and click on that bad box art, too. Let's show the box art.
Okay.
For people right. watching live.
It's like, I don't know, that box art is just so horrible. It's like one of the programmers did it or something, like 5 minutes before it had to ship. They're originally just going to go with, like, title text.
Yeah, I think the story that I heard was they decided kind of at the last minute to change it from the cutesy look, and they got whoever to draw it out, they told him, like, with no amount of time to really prepare. And they just said, it's just like this futuristic robot-looking guy with a helmet, and he's got some, you know, whatever. So they just
Don't forget the palm trees.
Yeah. They didn't really give him much information, so they just...
You know, I also think, like, maybe it was like the Japanese are like, well, let's Americanize this a little bit, and they're like, put some palm trees on it. They have palm trees over there. So here it is.
Yeah. And the yellow. Where's the yellow come from in the game? It's got so much yellow. I don't know.
Yeah.
God.
All right.
Like, really, what is he doing? Baffles my mind.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. We ready to talk about the gameplay? I'm ready to talk about the gameplay.
Let's do it.
The game discussion.
Guess what I've got?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to take a wild guess and say a manual.
It's a manual.
Sweet.
Nice.
So, here's the manual. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Whoa. The manual art's even worse than the box art.
Yeah, there's because there's no color on that
one. It's just a zoomed-in version of it.
God, it's really bad.
A special right. message.
So the special message from Capcom and Captain Commando. Thank you for selecting exciting and fun. No, yeah. Thank you for selecting exciting and fun-filled Mega Man, one of our exclusive family of computer home video games from Capcom Captain Commando Challenge series. Capcom or Mega Man, created by Capcom, premier worldwide arcade game designer, features colorful, state-of-the-art, high-resolution graphics. Did you know these were high-resolution graphics?
Oh yeah.
I want to find the story. Here we go. The story is the best part of Mega Man, I think. Because I'm actually, honestly, I'm really captivated by this story. I don't know why. It's kind of simple, but I've just always been captivated by the story. So the Mega Man story. It's Mega Man versus the powerful leaders and fighting forces of Monsteropolis. That strange, multifaceted land of robot-like humanoids, brilliant scientist Dr. Wright, conceived the construction of fully operational human-like experimental robots to perform specific everyday duties. Dr. Wright and his assistant, Dr. Wily, encouraged with their very first near-human robot, Mega Man, proceed to develop 6 additional humanoids, all programmed to perform prescribed rituals. How about that?
Perform prescribed rituals, I like.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, so to stop there for just a second, what kind of task? I mean, some of these tasks make sense, right? Bomb Man, he's probably a demolition for construction, right. You know. Guts Man, he's just kind of the muscle to help carry things around, I guess. But what do you need Cut Man for? I mean, cutting things, I guess, but...
So, Lumberjack. He's got someone's got to cut down all those robot trees.
That's true.
Well, apparently they've got a lot of palm trees, too.
Palm trees, too. For the palm trees. I got you.
Got to make sure they don't get overgrown.
And Iceman, is he just so everybody has nice cold drinks?
Yeah, he's kind of useless, isn't he?
And then we got Fireman and Elec-Man. Elec-Man, you know, electricity, Fireman, fire. It makes sense. That's another reason why I like the story. It makes sense. It works.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Dr. Light used to be Dr. Wright.
Yeah, that was something else I was going to bring up. It's in the manual, he's known as Dr. Wright, which in the lore of Mega Man, he's Dr. Light. But for some reason in the first game, and in the manual of the first game, he's known as Dr. Wright. So that's an interesting thing that he was originally called Dr. Wright in the manual.
You know who they took on as inspiration for the character of Dr. Light? Just look at him and take a guess on who does Dr. Light look like?
God.
George Lucas?
God. I like that.
He kind of looks like George Lucas. Oh, Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Totally.
Yeah, okay. So we've got Santa Claus versus Albert Einstein.
Exactly.
That sounds like an awesome midnight movie that you can find on...
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah.
Nice.
to finish the story here, but with the exception of Mega Man, all of Dr. Wright's near-human robot experimentation went awry. Assistant Dr. Wily turned disloyal, reprogramming Dr. Wright's humanoids, now bent on destroying opposition so Dr. Wily could control the world and its resources. Resisting reprogramming, Mega Man is chosen the defender of the universe and its inhabitants. Mega Man dares to single-handedly penetrate 7 separate empires of Monsteropolis, eliminating the leaders and followers of these sovereignties. Get ready for some exciting challenges.
I'm ready.
It's cool.
I'm ready too. Well, there's some cool pictures of the guys. Anyways, so there's the manual.
Later.
There's our forums. Anyways, the story is actually a little bit different from the one that was told in Japan. I think they changed it slightly. But the general consensus is there's a bunch of robots. They're made to do menial tasks so people don't have to do them. I think Mega Man was like a mage or something. I don't know what he was. But they're doing these menial tasks. And Justin... Sorry, everybody. Justin just snuck a cat picture in for me. Picture of his cat. For some reason, I can contain myself.
I'm sorry. That was unprofessional.
That's okay. If I had a cat, I would show you a cat. Hey, here's a picture of Just as funny, huh? All right. So I think it's a cool story. I like the thought that this guy turned bad and he tried to reprogram everybody to rule the world, and then so Mega Man, who is a peaceful robot, didn't really want to fight, was forced into fighting just to kind of save the world. I think that's a cool story. Maybe that's just me. Mm-hmm. Just me? Yeah, okay.
No, I think it's a cool story, too. I do.
Yeah, I'm curious as to, like, what Mega Man's personal backstory is. He's kind of just, like, this oddball out, you know? He doesn't really have a real purpose. He's just kind of Mega Man.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He's not Cut Man. He's not, like, Mow the Lawn Man.
Like, right.
Well, they created him with the ability of Hero.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, just in case things went awry, they needed somebody to be the hero.
That's some good forward thinking on their part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, did you guys play this game any when you were kids? Like when in your childhood, do you remember playing this?
Oh yeah, I played the heck out of Mega Man.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. The first one? Because see, I played the heck out of Mega Man 2, which is not the one we're talking about today, but I never really played the first Mega Man when I was a kid. I don't know if it's just because it was just not on my radar, because it wasn't as popular, or I don't know what the deal was. But
I played it. I don't really remember it too much, but I do remember playing and being that. It was not easy back then.
Yeah, for me, it was like there were two games that I thought were unbeatable as a kid. One turns out to be very beatable, and we just found out on the show not too long ago, and that was Jaws. And then this game, that was just because it was hard for me and I could never beat it. So, yeah. But I tried to play it the other day, so I picked it up the other day. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to play this. And I started out on the Guts Man level, and I couldn't get past the first three bladers. Which was embarrassing for like 20 minutes. It took me to get past that first like little part of the stage, and I was like, "Okay, this is. I'm glad nobody's watching me do this." But anyway,
yeah, that's funny. When I picked it up this week, I started with the Cuts Man stage.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, in my mind, I just thought it was going to be the easiest because Cuts Man looks ridiculous. So I was like, "Oh, it's going to be easy." So the stage itself, I think I made it through the stage, no problem. But then I got to Cuts Man, and he just beat me down pretty bad. He should be pretty easy. I don't know. I eventually got to beat him using just the Buster, and it really wasn't that bad. The one thing I did notice, though, which is interesting that's different about this game, is that in every Mega Man game, there's a entrance to the boss. There's like a tunnel or a corridor on your way in to see the boss. Well, every Mega Man game, it's usually empty. It's just a cool little tunnel to go to the boss. I get to Cuts Man, and there's these things shooting little pellets at me. And I actually died in the corridor because I didn't expect them to be there, and I didn't have much life. And so I didn't even make it to Cuts Man when I first went into the corridor. I just got stomped down by the little pellet shooters. But there's a lot
all
of
the bosses are like that.
I think they all do have a little something in the corridor to fight. But this game, there's a lot of stuff that's different in this game than the other Mega Man games. There's a point system. For some reason in this first game, they have a point system. And for the longest time, I can remember playing this. Of course, I didn't play it when I was a kid, but I played it when I was older, maybe in high school or something. But for the longest time, I can remember those little pellets. They drop these little pellets on the ground, you know?
Sure.
Had little blue or different colors, and it took me forever to figure out what they were, because they don't give you life, they don't give you more ammo, they're just there, but they're just there for points, just to get you more points. So it's interesting that this game has points, and then they just kind of dropped it and never used it again.
Yeah. I like the, you know what, one aspect about this game is going back to what we're talking about in history where they used rock, paper, scissors, and how every guy has a weapon that's kind of, that you can use to beat them, but there's no, like, superior weapon. There, you kind of have to figure out the puzzle of, like, what weapon works against what guy the best, you know?
That's probably the coolest part about this game, and one of the neatest features and reasons why Mega Man stands out among other games is because it's open ended. You can pick whichever level you want to go to from the get go. You can just pick. You can go to any level. If there's six levels to choose from, you just go to whichever one you want. But beating certain bosses in certain orders will gain you advantages with different, you know, because different weapons work better against different bosses. So part of the fun of Mega Man is figuring out which order to go in, because you can play through, you know, you beat Cutsman first. Well, then you have to play each stage, figure out which stage works best for Cutsman's weapon, which is just a really, really, it's an incredible concept for a video game to me, because nobody was doing anything like this at the time. In fact, just not only that, nobody was really doing a platforming shooter, really, that I can think of. Mega Man was kind of among the first to do that. Most of them were kind of Mario-esque, where you jump over people or jump on heads. Mm-hmm. But Mega Man, you're actually running, jumping, and shooting. And you're just shooting a little laser. I mean, there were other games, too, that did, like, hack and slash. Like, I can think of Wizards and Warriors. It was a platform, but you would slash people. But this is actually platforming and shooting people, which I thought was really interesting.
Right. No, what level did you think was the hardest for you?
Iceman.
Hands down. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, Iceman. What about you? What about you, Rob?
Iceman's not a bad pick. It is really difficult sliding around in there.
I just always hate ice stages on any game.
Yeah, me too. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Something else. That's a little bit different about this Mega Man than other Mega Mans is the sliding in general, because I don't know if they just hadn't nailed down the physics exactly yet or something, because it's when you jump and you land, you slide a little bit anyways, just because it's just the way the game works. I don't know, they eventually got it to where in Mega Man 2 and 3 and 4, when you jump and you land, there's not as much sliding and it's a little more precise. But in this game, it seems like it's just a little slippery.
Yeah, I think they were trying to simulate like a little bit of like a velocity and friction kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. Might have been that. Might have just been bad programming. Who knows?
But it's really frustrating when it's slippery and you get those little disappearing blocks. You know, the...
Oh, yeah, right. Vroom, yeah.
Vroom, and they're random and you can't even know. You can't even figure out where to go. I just thought that's one of the more frustrating parts of the game for me. And that happened terribly in the Iceman stage when you're trying to go across those blocks and they're extra slippery and they're disappearing and you're falling in the hole. And I've always found that kind of frustrating. I think it's interesting how in this game also, to contrast a little bit, a lot of those block parts, whenever you're trying to get through those blocks and they fall and disappear, you typically don't fall into a hole or you don't fall and die. You fall down into like a water pit and you have to climb back up. So you don't actually die. I think I would have been more satisfying to me if I would have fell into the hole and died instead, you know? Instead, I had to fall down in this little pit of water with this little spiky guy that would dance back and forth across the screen. And so I'd fall down into the water, and he'd go back and forth and try to get me. And then I'd have to try to climb back up, and then woo, 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 and then I'd have to fall back down. And then he'd try to hit me with a little spiky guy. So. But there was no buoyancy in the water, which I kind of liked, because you didn't have to worry about slowing down when you're in the water. So that was kind of neat.
Right.
Justin, I was talking about those little blocks that disappears when I was talking about while you were gone.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I did.
But you didn't pull a Carl, did you?
No, I didn't pull it. No, that'd be a quick Carl.
This game also, to add to the frustration of how difficult it is, there's no passwords in this one, like there are in sequential or, you know, the following Mega Man games. There's no passwords,
so right.
you can't really go back to where you were. You have to start from the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That's, you know.
That was a frustrating thing to be back before the days of. And it's probably one of the reasons why I never beat this game, is because you had to spend a pretty significant amount of time to beat this game. And I don't know if I ever had the patience as a kid to do that. So.
Yeah. Anyway. I can see that. It's you do have to sit down, you have to learn the game, and you have to practice the game.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's the style of these games, you know? That's just the way it was. That's what you had to do. So I can't really fault it too much for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys ever use any of the cheats?
There's like cheats in Mega Man 1?
I don't remember cheats. Like the pause select, cheat?
Yeah, the select.
Where you pause. Can, yeah. I did use that, especially on, like, some of the later guys, like, mm-hmm. once you get to Wily's Castle, like, the yellow Cyclops thing. I did.
Right.
I did. That was the only, I've never been able to beat him without using the select cheat.
What is the select cheat? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, in the game, whenever you hit pause, mm-hmm. if you hit pause as your gun is hitting the opponent, and then you unpause, it hits him again. So every time, so as long as it's still touching him, if you pause and unpause, it'll hit him when it hits him, and then when you unpause, it'll hit him again.
Oh, very nice.
So you kind of get a double hit every time, as long as you just pause the game.
Nice. Right.
Yeah, and there was apparently, and I just read this last night, apparently there was a glitch in the Iceman stage. I'll just read this instead of trying to explain it. There's a point in the Iceman stage where you try to get a 1-up but often miss it. When you drop down to the next screen, the one before the big eye, use your magnet beam and try to climb your way up and try to hop onto the off-screen platform where the 1-up is supposed to be. The moment you step on it, the screen will glitch and show you falling to the screen below and avoiding the big eye in the process.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little glitches in this game. Like, I noticed sometimes you can fall off the ladder if you're climbing from... Like, when the screens change, sometimes you just fall off the ladder. I don't know. That happened to me. I don't know if it happened to you guys. Like, when you jump up on the ladder and you're climbing up, and then when the screens change, something happens to Mega Man, and he falls back down off the ladder.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Guts Man, when I was playing it this week, I finally, you know, got past the first few flying helmets, or bladers as they're called, and finally got to him. And I really think, you know, I don't remember Guts Man being that hard when I used to play it, but I guess it is kind of one of the harder levels to play. Maybe it was a mistake on my part to try to play that level.
I think Guts Man is probably maybe the second hardest stage behind the ice stage for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The actual Guts Man battle is really not that bad, but the stage is kind of difficult.
Mm.
Something about the level design that I found interesting is in the game, they reuse the exact same screen over and over again sometimes. Like if when you're progressing through the level, you'll get a screen and it looks like, you know, whatever. It's got a big wall on the ladder or something, right? And then when you get through that and you get into the next screen, it's the exact same thing, but maybe with different enemies on the screen. I thought it was interesting how they kind of reuse. I don't know if it's laziness or if it's just. I mean, because this game, I wouldn't want to call it laziness, because this game's got so much to it. I think it maybe was just this little shortcut that they took.
Yeah, you know, I think there were probably limitations of the time too, into kind of how much they could do with the graphics that they had. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to word that.
But, yeah, I can see that. Something cool about the graphics that I was wanting to mention while we talked about the show today. Mm-hmm. So the graphics, I mean, right from the get-go, they're kind of spot on. They never, they're so good. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know if that's a bad. I've got a huge vocabulary here. The graphics are so good.
They're very good.
Anyways, they're so good that they don't ever even change them for the entire Mega Man series. Even the games on, you know, once you get into Mega Man 9 and 10, which are on, you know, Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, they still use, like, the same graphical assets because the graphics are just so good. There's really no reason to upgrade them. And I found something interesting about this. You know, the sprites are really large and detailed in the game, like Mega Man, the bosses, and the bad guys. And Mega Man seems to really stand out. And on the Nintendo Entertainment System, you could use 4 colors for a sprite, right?
Right. I know this one.
Well, Mega Man has 5. He has blue, and then he has, like, peach, and he's got white and black. And I think he's got 2 shades of blue, peach for his face, and then white and black in his eyes, right? So how are they able to do this? Well, his eyes are their own sprites.
Right.
Like his eyes are that's why his eyes kind of stand out, too. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but when I'm playing the game, Mega Man's eyes really kind of pop out at me.
So
yeah, totally. Yeah. I've heard that one before. It was like a cutting edge technique back then for the NES days, using the layering of sprites together. That's how they got around that kind of that requirement. Mm-hmm. Sort of skirted it with that.
Yeah, but I thought that was just really cool how they did that in this game. Just to give it that extra layer of detail and polish. I'm sure it takes a little extra work to layer the sprites like that. You may be able to tell us more about that, Rob, than we do.
I don't. That's all I've heard about it. I know about the color restrictions, so like with the 3 colors and like transparency on the sprites. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually 4 colors, 4 color limit. But most of the time, they can only use 3 colors because the last one was taken up by a transparency, I believe. So.
Okay. Yeah.
It was tricky. Yeah, it's definitely tricky.
Yeah. So Inafune, he actually created most of the sprites. He actually pretty much all of them. The only ones that he did not create were for Roll, which wasn't even in the game. But I don't know why they said that. Roll and Dr. Light. So Santa Claus cannot be blamed on Inafune.
Huh.
Okay. So go ahead, Justin.
Where is Roll? Like, they talk about Roll, but he's not in the game.
They talk about him for Mega Man 1, really?
Is it the Japanese version, maybe? Is it in Rockman?
Maybe it's in Rockman. I don't know. Is there an opening cutscene to this game? I can't remember.
I think there's one in Dr. Wright's laboratory. I can't remember, though.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know. I have no idea what Roll is in this game. Maybe they took her out for the American version because they didn't think she was crucial to the story.
Huh.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So.
So what about what is everybody's least favorite enemy? Like, I know there's some enemies in this game that really frustrate. I mean, there's the flying guys and little spiky guys and everything. There's got to be I'm not talking about bosses. I'm talking about the enemies. What's something that really just frustrated you?
I always hated the turtle guys. They had the little helmet, you know, and they would peek out whenever you're on their, like, Y-axis and shoot, like, some radio bullets at you.
Yeah, and you couldn't hurt them when they had their helmet on.
Right, yeah. You had to wait until they were, like, peeking out from under it and then put a bullet right down onto them, or else it would just, like, bounce off their head. That would always kind of tick me off.
What about you, Jess?
You know, apparently this week the Bladers were my least favorite character because they're just annoying to me.
Which one's the Blader? Oh, the fly, the guys that fly.
The little helmets. Yeah, the fly.
And they swoop down in a U-shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it seems so simple, but it's just frustrating. You know, they're one of those things, they're like the Goombas in Mario, where it's like, they're not much to them, but they just get in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Just enough to make you mad.
Well, really mine, make you mad when mine you was definitely the, sorry, Justin, really make you mad when you what?
When you get killed by them, you know, hit by them.
Yeah, definitely. Mine was definitely the little spiky shield guys that scrolled along the bottom, and they sped up whenever they would get on their platform.
Yeah.
That just made platforming so frustrating for me, because when you get hit, you have a little bit of a knockback, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just stay there. You get knocked back. So when you jump on a platform and you just barely make it on the edge, and then a little spiky guy comes and hits you and just knocks you right back off.
Yeah.
That was probably my most frustrating experience with the game.
Yeah.
What about the music and the sound? Because I feel like, you know, we don't normally talk graphics and sound because we think it's not as important on the NES. But I think in terms of this game, the music and the sound in this game is just so iconic that it can't. We have to talk about it.
Totally, I love Mega Man music. I like a lot of chiptune artists, and one of the guys, RushJet1, he does like a lot of Mega Man stuff, and I'll listen to that, like, you know, while I'm working on things or whatever. And even the original Mega Man soundtrack, it's pretty amazing. But yeah, it's probably one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. Like even the themes and stuff like that for it are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's I'm not the type to listen to video game music while I'm in the car or something. I usually just leave it for the game and just listen to it while I play the game. But with Mega Man, this music is probably good enough to sometimes I may turn it on in the car. Or maybe like where people have covered it and do like metal versions of it.
Right, right.
Or like for instance, what's the name of that group? Is it the Megas? That they use the songs from the games, the Mega Man games, and they put words to it and like make a story about Mega Man. I mean, I think it translates well to real instruments, which is why I like to listen to it. Namely, you know, electric guitar. It works really well for an electric guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So we can post this on our Facebook page too. There's an interview of the original Mega Man sound team. And just to quote, one thing that I thought was kind of funny is Matsume, when she was talking about it, she said she was still new at the time, and I had to compose music, create sound effects, and program the data in 3 months. My butt was on fire, and the truth is that I wasn't able to think deeply about it at all. The thing that came to mind when I first saw the image for the original Mega Man was, it's got kind of a robotic coolness. In addition, when the development had progress, I felt the inner side of Mega Man as well as the kind of sorrowful being.
Interesting. That is interesting. He is sorrowful because he doesn't want to be fighting, you know? He's a peaceful robot that's been forced into fighting.
And if you look at the sprite, he kind of has a frown on his face. Like a sad face.
Yeah,
he does have a sad face. Totally. Yeah. It's almost like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird to say that they were able to convey that in an 8-bit sprite, but it does feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she also, one other quote, she said that it was tough to compose with only 3 notes at a time, but I absolutely loved it. It was fun to reduce the data to fit within the limitations. And when I managed it, I would have done a definite sense of accomplishment. I created sound effects when I couldn't come up with any good ideas for music at all. That was often very refreshing, and I was able to write without any problems afterwards. The problem was the deadline was always too close. That was always the case when I was with Capcom. So. Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's interesting.
That is really interesting. I think the sound, like the what I always like to call the bleeps and the bloops, I think that's also really cool in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Something that really sticks out to me is the death sound in animation.
Sure. Like
the combination of that death and the sound that goes along with it, and like the little balls that go away from the middle of the screen or whatever. I think that's really cool. I think it's iconic, and I don't want to say satisfying because it's not, you know, I don't want to die. I don't want my guy to die. Maybe anti-satisfying, whatever the opposite of satisfying is in terms of like, I'm making no sense right now. You know what I mean?
Dissatisfying?
No, but that doesn't work because it is satisfying to me. It's like, yes, I died. Okay.
No, I know what you mean. It's
really
like,
good feedback. How about that?
Yeah.
It's really good feedback for dying.
You can like feel, you can like feel Mega Man dying there on screen. It's like, and it's like your emotions too at the time of like the death. It's like,
right, because you're so like zapped. You're like so frustrated and zapped of all your energy. You know, it's like, oh man.
Right.
I just think it works perfectly, and it's something that sticks out. It's probably one of the better death animations of any game I've ever played.
It's a sweet release.
It is. It's a sweet, sweet release.
Sure.
And something else that's interesting about this game that they kind of stopped doing as far as sound is concerned is each one of the weapons sounds different in this game, which I think they stopped doing after this game. I don't know. I think they kind of just went to like a normal, just like the same noise for all the weapons. But in this game, each one kind of has a different sound to it, which that was cool. That was a nice little touch.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right, I think I've said enough about the gameplay. Don't forget to get the magnet beam, because it doesn't really tell you what you need it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how about some retrofitted trophies?
Retrofitted trophies.
Let's do some retrofitted trophies. I got some good ones here.
I do too. I've got five. I got five.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll let you start, Justin.
All right. My first one is... Wait, Rob, do you know what's going on here?
Retrofitted trophies? No,
I guess we could explain it for everyone. We never explain this. We just go into it.
So, basically, they're like accomplishments in these old school games. So now how we have like PlayStation things have accomplishments things in games. These are like retrofitted. So we go back to these old games and we try to think of trophies of doing certain things in the game.
Ah, okay.
Alright, my first one is do you have it? And that is beating the Guts Man.
So. Oh, nice. Guts.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, well, my first one is called Fireproof, and that is beating Fireman without taking a hit.
Oh, cool.
Simple.
Smooth.
How about this one? This is kind of cliche, but I've added a little something to it. Ice Baby. That is beating the Iceman stage and then doing the Running Man in celebration.
Nice.
All right. I've got one called Training for the World's Strongest Man, and that is finishing the stage while holding a rock.
Nice.
So carry the rock to the end of the stage.
Ah.
My last one, I only had three, and my last one is go work on the theory of relativity, and as beating Dr. Wily.
Okay.
Cool.
Rob, do you have any? Can you think of any? Otherwise, I'll just plow through my last three here.
Nah, none are coming to mind here.
Okay, so I've got one called "If It Wasn't for This Jaundice," and that is beating the Yellow Cyclops guy.
That was pretty good.
And then there can only be one, and that's defeat the copycat Mega Man. And then finally, cut the cord. And that's defeat Elec Man with the Cutman power.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then Tom Arnold would be impressed, would be beat the game without getting hit.
Oh, man.
Good luck getting that.
Yeah, really.
But Tom Arnold would be impressed.
He'd have to come to your house and shake your hand if he did that.
I think so. I'd like to see if anybody's ever done that. I bet somebody has.
Oh, yeah. I bet you they have.
I meant to look up a speed run. Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah, find out, because I'd be curious how quickly somebody could beat this game, too.
Yeah, I'm curious as well.
So
I'm
going to
guess
looking at
half an hour.
Half an hour? That makes sense. I think I'm going to guess. We're going to go Price is Right rules. I'm going to say 25 minutes. I'm going to undercut you there.
You're both over.
Oh.
22 minutes and 10 seconds.
Nice, really? 22 minutes, huh?
By somebody's name, let's see, it says his name, but it got cut off here, so I have to click on it and figure it out.
Yeah, you better give him a shout out.
by Cool Kid, number AGDQ 2014. I don't know. So, wait, nice. I think
that's awesome quite the game.
I'm sorry. The AGDQ is short for Awesome Games Done Quick 2014. So the guy's name is just Cool Kid, apparently.
Okay. So Cool Kid. He's good.
Yeah.
What about a rating? Are we going to give this game a rating?
Game rating.
Ten out of ten.
All right, awesome.
All right, moving on. No, we actually do it a little differently on this show, Rob. I would agree. This is probably, I'd give it a 9.8 out of 10 to leave some room for Mega Man 2 to have the 10 out of 10. But on this show, we actually just come up with something random and just try to relate the game to it as a rating. Like, for instance, last week, I think we did a magic spell and related Faxanadu to a magic spell. So, Justin, what about this game? What do you think? Like a type of robot? I don't know.
Well, I've seen a type of robot, but I can't think of any types of robots. Maybe since all of the characters were kind of made for like, well, no, not really though.
Okay, how about a menial task? Like a menial task. So what we're going to do is we're going to give this game a menial task, a task that describes this game. That's the rating for this game. That's not a good rating for this game, but that's what we're going to do. So,
yeah.
Okay, I got one. This is chopping wood. Chopping and hauling wood. I want to say that this game is chopping and hauling wood because, one, I strangely enjoy it a little bit. I don't know why, but I do enjoy chopping. So, and I enjoy this game, so there's that. Then also, I think chopping and hauling wood is a good workout. And you chop and haul wood, it's good exercise. This game is good exercise in gaming. This will make you a better gamer. If you play this game, you will guaranteed be a better platformer after playing this game. So that's why I'm going to go with chopping and hauling wood.
Fits. Suiting.
Yeah. I'm going to go with hammer and nails. You can't really do anything. That's just like the standard bearer for building anything, and I think this game is just one of the standard bearers for side scroller and shooters for years afterwards.
Oh, okay, yeah, I like it. Yeah. Rob, did you think of one?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that's very rage inducing, like one step forward, two steps back sort of deal. I don't know. Yeah, Mega Man. That's always the feeling I get. It was good rage though. You know, it was an enjoyable frustration playing Mega Man. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things that really frustrate me, but are also very rewarding.
How about like cleaning your house or something? Because you know sit back after you've cleaned your house, you're like, wow, this is a nice looking house. But when you're doing it, you're like, oh, I hate cleaning my house. Why do I even get this dirty?
Sure. And also, it makes you angry because then it gets dirty again, and you're like, why do I even clean?
Right. Yeah. Why do I even play this game? Sure. See it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, Rob, while we're waiting on Michael, we'll get Michael's take on your game when we get back. But why don't you go ahead and tell us about your game and the development of your game?
Sure. Well, Rex was started maybe a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, probably in over a year and a half ago by now. So close to 2 years. Started as like a little side project while I was working on another project of mine. And it eventually became the main project, and ran a Kickstarter for it, had a successful Kickstarter, and ever since then, it's been a lot of fun. We did like Indie Mega Booth, got it up on Steam to give people a little background on the game. So, no, it's Rex Rocket. It's kind of a letter to, you know, past platformers like Mega Man and other, you know, classic platformers and stuff like that. And basically an old war hero in the, you know, a future Earth setting. And while you're hypersleep, these life forms get out of their containment and they infect the computer and they cause the entire ship to go haywire. And so the whole game is Rex trying to regain control of his ship and save the day. And that's the basic gist of Rex.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the idea of a Kickstarter. I love the idea of independent anything, independent movies, independent gaming. It's a tell of the times of where we are that we can actually do that nowadays, where, you know, that wasn't an option 30 years ago when Nintendo had its heyday.
Yeah, really. It's really nice having a platform like Kickstarter out there. It's really very cool. I've had my fingers crossed that Steam would eventually absorb some of the features that Kickstarter puts out there.
I agree with it. That would be really cool. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, because I mean, Steam has so much traffic, and it's 100% gamers. You know, Kickstarter, you get, you know, not the same. Like Kickstarter, you really have to get gamers on that site. It's like word of mouth on projects and things like that. But
I know. I backed your game on Kickstarter, and I was trying to think of how I even found it. I think I just stumbled across it. You know, I heard about it somewhere or something. It wasn't something that was easy to find. I happened upon it, or I heard about it or something. Right.
We should have done like advertising and stuff like that for the Kickstarter, because that's really how you have to drive traffic to those pages. But, you know, we had a really small goal, and we hit it early on, and we really didn't have to put any advertising into it. But for some of the bigger projects, I know that is what it takes. Is like because they don't have, you know, all that gamer traffic. It's like, if you really want to get people to the page, you got to do like advertising, and in addition to all the PR work that goes into it, like contacting websites and, like, you know, journalists and things like that. So it's a good amount of work. I really hope that Steam one day takes all the features on Kickstarter and just puts it right in the green light.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So I missed the intro to this segment. Are we talking Rex Rocket now?
I just asked him about the history and how it got started and everything. So.
Okay, cool. So I've been playing Rex Rocket this past week and a half or so. Just started it. And I don't know if you will admit to this, but it's heavily influenced by Mega Man.
Oh, yeah. No,
I see. Yeah, 100%. I even see those little helmet guys. You have them in your game, which is neat to see. That's good, nice little throwback.
Yeah, you can jump on their heads to flip them over and then kill them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to give them something extra.
I didn't know that. I do now. It's also got the laser chase sequences thing, and you got your insta death everywhere.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. It's pretty Mega Man inspired. It's kind of a good blend of Mega Man and Metroid in terms of like the structure of the levels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We tried to make it as open as possible, you know, for Metroidvania kind of exploratory gameplay, but it's also linear in a way that the ship is broken up into sections for each boss. That was another big kind of hurdle that we had to come over. It's like, well, you know, we want them to play the bosses in a sequential order, but we also want to try to hide the linearity to those as much as possible. Like, make it look like a big open world, but it's actually linear. So I think we did a pretty good job of getting that in there.
Yeah, I would say if you took like Mega Man, the game of Mega Man, and you placed it into Metroid, that would be kind of what this game is, which is cool. It's a really cool idea to me, because you're right. Each level, it's almost like there's levels inside the ship, and there's a boss, but you're free to go kind of anywhere you want.
Right.
In like a Metroid style, and you can explore, but it's kind of like a set path towards a boss, and then you beat the boss, and you get a weapon from the boss, and then you're free to move, and it kind of helps you do other things, like the charge shot. Once you get it, you can jump higher. So it's kind of like Metroid, but instead of just finding the things, you beat the boss and you get a new weapon, and that's kind of how you progress. It's a cool blend of two of my favorite genres of game.
Awesome.
It's also a little difficult and frustrating. I'm not gonna lie. You definitely left that in there too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I like being frustrated by games like Mega Man. So when it came to Rex Rocket, yeah, you know, I tried to add that in there. Some people get more frustrated than others, obviously. But you know, for the type of game that, you know, I made it for people like me who like being frustrated, and you know, all the feedback that we've gotten from like reviews and people on the boards, it's like, yeah, you know, they're frustrated too, but a lot of them like it. They like the punishment, so.
Yeah, I'd say I'm in that crowd of liking the punishment. You do help out by having good checkpoints, though.
Yeah, there's lots of checkpoints. It's easy to get back to anywhere in the ship. I mean, you know, whenever you get into a new section, there's always like a hypertube, or you can open up a shortcut or whatever. So even if you do die, it's pretty, I mean, at the max, it takes like, you know, 10 minutes to get back to where you were, if even.
I recommend people that like Mega Man to go and get your game on Steam if they have.
Cool, yeah, totally. If you're a Mega Man fan, you'll be right at home with the Rex Rocket.
Or a Metroid fan, either one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're a Metroid fan, sure. Yeah, it's a little bit of both, so.
I just beat the Enforcer bot, and that's as far as I made it this week. Is that? Oh, cool. That's probably not very far.
No, it's not. I mean, that's like the second boss in the game, so.
Yeah, it is. It's just the second, so.
Well, yeah, it's a good first step into Rex, for sure.
Yeah.
Things start getting pretty crazy after that point.
I can imagine. I'm excited. I'm going to keep playing it. So we'll see how far I get. I have a tendency not to beat games anymore for some reason, just because I got way too many to play. But I think I like this game enough that I might end up beating it one day. Do you have any exclusive Two Dudes cheat codes that you haven't given out to anybody yet?
No, the Knump code is the only one in there.
Okay. Just trying to get the fans some exclusivity.
yeah, I wish we had built some more cool cheat codes into it.
Yeah, that's all right. But, you got anything else you want to say? You want to tell people where they can find it? I know you can get it on Steam. That's where I got it. But
so yeah, just Steam for right now. It will be on Humble Bundle, probably GOG, at some point too in the near future. But yeah, for right now, just Steam. Grab it on there. It's available for PC. Should be available for Mac pretty soon, and iOS as well, iPad.
Cool. Oh,
soon, yeah.
Yeah, iOS would be cool, although I don't use iOS, but that'd be neat.
Yeah, well, we're going to be coming to like Android and Android Fire TVs as well, so.
All right.
But that's, we're going to get all the iOS stuff taken care of first, and then Android's going to be in our crosshairs.
Yeah, I got you. So, Justin, did we do feedback yet?
We have not done feedback yet.
Do you want to do some feedback?
D-Patter feedback.
Let's do some feedback. So I've got the form already pulled up, so I can go ahead and start on that.
Okay. There was a lot on the form.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. So a lot of good, we got a lot of good feedback here. So Kyle the Murphy says, Mega Man is one of those games that not only stands the test of time, but feels 10 times harder than it did as a kid. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
It's still a great platformer, as good as any in my opinion, but it has a very steep learning curve. It's like Super Meat Boy without any forgiveness. Okay.
Sure.
Earn says, I have such a bad relationship with this game, mainly because I haven't been able to beat Iceman stage since I was about 8 or 10 years old. One day, winter coat wearing son of a blanking blank. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Fish Lips Jay, which I think is Jay Jorgensen.
Yeah, yeah, it is, I think.
Mega Man, question mark, exclamation mark. I could have swore that the music you played at the end of the show was from Mega 4, not the original. Now my voicemail makes no sense at all. I only played this once, and it was tough. Yeah, I think we kind of explained what happened there. Jay, sorry about that. 8-Bit Baz says, I truly adore this game, one of my favorites of all time, and my favorite of all the Mega Man series. Fantastic level design, amazing music, great promise. This whole game just blows my mind to this day. And the No Swear Dude said, great solid game, but I think it suffers from Terminator 2 syndrome, where the sequel so outshines the original that the original is often overlooked or forgotten. Also, if it wasn't for the pause trick, the Yellow Devil could have been a game breaker due to its extreme difficulty.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Dude Hickman says, I feel like Mega Man came out nearly fully formed. You had the classic Blue Bomber, selectable levels, each with a unique boss, acquiring abilities from bosses, figuring out what ability to use on who, tough level, satisfying gameplay, and great music. The only thing that didn't carry over to Mega Man 2 was scoring. I agree with Phil, great game, gets fairly overlooked, and that box art.
Yeah.
The box art.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Stark Scraps says, I just beat the first and second one about a week ago. I love this series. The Wii Guy says, great and classic soundtrack by Maname Matsume. And the sound driver programming by Yoshiro Sakaguchi, whose sound would carry out the great NES Capcom sound we've all come to know and love. And one more from Retro Junkie Landon. This is the game that started it all for the Blue Bomber. It had and still has excellent graphics, sound, and most of all, gameplay. The controls were tight with little to no lag. It seemed, which is good because you are going to need it to be on your A game to beat this game. This definitely belongs on the Mount Rushmore of NES games.
Nice. The Mount Rushmore of NES games, huh? I like that. Yeah. Okay, so who's on the Mount Rushmore of NES games for you? I'm going to say Mega Man, Mario, Simon from Castlevania, and Samus from Metroid. That's my Mount Rushmore of NES games.
I'm going to go with Mario, Pac-Man, Samus from Metroid, and I'll go with Mega Man as my fourth.
Ooh, that's a good lineup. I'd have to go with, let's see here, Mega Man, Mario, those are the givens. I'd probably go with Dragon Warrior too. I'd throw him up there. He was one of my favorites. And then Metroid.
Okay, so the only one that we all disagree on is we got a Castlevania, we got a Dragon Warrior, and we got a Pac-Man.
And honorable mention the Duck Hunt Dog.
Okay.
Duck Hunt Dog. Yeah.
I would say honorable mention that guy from Deadly Towers.
Oh boy. He's not getting anywhere near it.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Hey, so we got two phone calls this week.
All right.
And then that'll close out our feedback. All right.
Dude, it's Jay Jorgensen again. I listened to the Pat Sanity episode. Loved it. Loved hearing Aaron Robinson's voice since I haven't heard him in forever, since Factory Sealed hasn't put stuff out in a while. Yeah, I was gonna, you know, respond to your comment about well, I guess it wasn't your comment, but it was a feedback comment about how somebody can't tell you guys apart. Now, I've come up with a really, really good method of how to tell you guys apart. So Justin tends to speak pretty normally and, you know, kind of whatever, no accent, but when you hear Michael ask a question, now you know that there's a 5 W's, who, what, when, where, why, and how, but when Michael asks a question, he always puts the H before or the W27. And I know that's kind of an accent thing, and I can't make fun of it. I'm from Minnesota, and we all sound like we're from Fargo. So, you know, if you're ever confused, just remember, when Michael asks a question, it's always not what, it's what. The next game sounds like it's going to be Mega Man 4, which is awesome. I've been trying to play through this game lately, and I got stuck, and I think it's Aquaman or Dive Man, Marine Man. Not that it's been a while since I picked up the controller, but looking forward to it.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. It's true. I do say what? What? And I don't know why. I feel like I don't know why I say that. I just don't. And it's like that song. What's that song that's out now? Everybody's popular. Like Turn Down for What or whatever. What?
Turn Down for What? Like,
Turn Down for What? I sound like Hank Hill. What?
What in the world is going on here?
Yeah. So thanks, Jay, for bringing that up. It's true. What are you gonna do? All right, we got one more. I didn't listen to this one, so if it curses, then I'm sorry to everybody. So.
Hey, I hope I have the right number for Two Dudes and an NES podcast. My name is Jake. I'm a retro gamer and have been for pretty much ever. I happened to just find your guys' podcast today. While I was at work, I was bored and I looked up retro games on Stitcher. Didn't listen to the newest one, the Fazanadu. Yes, that's not Fazanadu. Didn't listen to that one yet, but I happened to listen to Tecmo Bowl, and I could punch out Tecmo Bowl being probably my favorite NES game of all time. Just gotta say, guys, I love the show. Love the idea of it. Anyway, I did have a trophy idea for Tecmo Bowl, a couple of them actually, incidentally revolving around Bo Jackson and, you know, his running abilities. One being, if you tackle Bo Jackson for a loss of yards, trophy could be called There Goes the Knee, because, you know, you don't know those knee issues actually ended his career. And then, if you hit Bo Jackson, you run it in for a touchdown, you can have it called Short Beat Baseball. Baseball. I thought that was a cool idea. Anyway, guys, just wanted to say I love the show. Wondering if you ever thought of doing a show on probably one of my favorite NES games. It's actually a guilty pleasure. Someone likes it. Is Urban Champion. Wondering if you guys threw that in an episode already and I missed it, or if you ever thought about doing that. Anyway, thanks again. Bye.
Well, we haven't done Urban Champion, but No Swear Gamer did it, right?
Yeah,
last week, right?
He did it last week. We haven't done it yet. We do. It's on the list. Of course, every game's on the list. But I've never played Urban Champion. I hear it's not very good. So he says it's a guilty pleasure for him. So
yeah,
that must mean it may not be good to most people. But thanks for calling, and I'm glad you found the show. Listen to all the old ones. Don't worry about listening to Fast Anodo too soon.
Well, yeah. Aaron did a good job, but
it's a good show, but Justin, that's not the top of Justin and out my game here. Aaron was good, so you maybe do want to listen to it, because Aaron was good on it, but the top of our game, you need to listen. Let's give him a couple suggestions since you're just starting to listen. I say definitely do the Boy and His Blob show where we got David Crane on. I think the Double Dragon show is a must listen for anybody, because we make so many references to the Tom Arnold on their show nowadays,
if you
don't listen to the Double Dragon episode, you will not get that reference. So you got to go back and listen to the Double Dragon episode.
Right.
And then I like the first episode just because I like the stupid soundboard Mario, but nobody else likes it. So what are you gonna do?
Right.
All right. Yeah, I think that's pretty much wrapping us up here. Justin, you want to tell people how they can? Well, actually. Justin, go ahead and tell people how they can find us.
You can find us on any social media outlet there is, obviously Facebook. Facebook, we're creeping up on that 300 likes. We're at 293 as of right now, so only need 7 more people. We'll get to 300, so if you're on Facebook and you haven't liked us yet, do it. And if you don't have Facebook, make a Facebook account and like us.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. I got one more thing that I almost forgot. I don't want to forget this because I posted about it on Facebook, and that reminded me. We got two. I posted on Facebook that I smelled a couple new honorary dudes. So we do have a couple more honorary dudes to announce today, real quick.
Okay.
First one being Jay Jorgensen. Congratulations, Jay. Or Dude Jorgensen now. Or Dude. Actually, I kind of like Dude Jay. Let's go with Dude Jay. So, and I will say that his latest push with calls, because he's been giving us a lot of calls, and we like calls, so I think that's what really pushed him over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So, welcome to the honorary dudeship, Jay. We're glad to have you. And then the other one is Eric Purcell. Has he already a dude? He's not a dude yet, is he?
No, he's not.
Yeah, so welcome, Dude Purcell. We appreciate all your sharing and your liking that you do and your commenting. So I think that brings us up to four dudes now. We got Dude Hickman, Dude Upple, Dude Jay, and Dude Purcell. So if anybody else wants to be a dude, keep liking, keep sharing us, give us some calls, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you too can be an honorary dude. All right, Justin, sorry, go ahead. You can finish.
Just finishing up. You can always find us on nesdudes.com, which is our website. And also download the app on Google Play Store. We've got a Two Dudes in a Nest app. Keep up with everything Two Nudes and access to any of the episodes on there as well.
Whoa, it's not Two Nudes. That's a different
Did
app.
Did I say nude?
That's a completely different
Don't app. Look up Two Nudes. Yeah, that's a totally.
Nice. Don't do that.
Also starring me and Justin, if that tells you anything.
Two nudes in an ass. We're sitting playing an ass naked. Anyway, go ahead. So.
All right. I think that's it. Here comes the noises and the bleeps and the bloops for next week's game. Thanks, Rob, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Had a lot of fun.
All right, we'll see you, everybody.